105.9. City Talk 105.9.
Good evening, 8 minutes past 6 o'clock. You are listening to City Talk. It is time, of course, now to get all things Everton on the radio. Ped's here with the boys from the Blue Room. I'll leave it to them. What have we got on the agenda, fella?
Well, basically tonight, Adam, we're going to be talking about the pre-season. Was it a good one? Are we happy with the signings we've brought in? Who would we like to see signing for the Blues in the next 3 weeks? And also, we look forward to Watford on Saturday. I've got Matt Jones, Dave Downey and Dave Bennett in the studio. Boys, are we back refreshed?
I know I am.
Looking forward to seeing. Well, we know you are, Dave Bennett, because you've got married.
Yep.
You've also took the second name of your wife, I believe, as well, which is very very progressive, very forward-thinking. I like that, which is, you know, very much like yourself.
He might start coming to my way of thinking now he's got married.
What? Depression?
Yeah, depression, misery. That's what generally happens, isn't it? Hello, love, if you're listening.
Ah, she's a ray of sunshine, my one, so, you know.
But get it in the studio, please, then, because we need a little bit of that. So, obviously, it doesn't seem 5 minutes ago since we were here having a right old moan about the end of the season and yeah, Tottenham Hotspur, remember that? It was...
Not really, no.
I think that's the general feeling. So, obviously, pre-season, what have been our overall thoughts so far? I mean, last season it was pretty horrendous the way our pre-season. So, you know, Matt, what have you thought so far with the pre-season?
A bit of positive and negative, really. I think looking at the squad as a whole and how the pre-season's gone in a direct comparison to last season and how much of a disaster that was. We've had most of the full squad back for the whole of the pre-season. A lot of our key players have got crucial minutes under the belt. And we played some top quality opposition. I don't know. We played Stoke out in Asia. We played Arsenal. You know, we had Villarreal on Sunday. They're all good sides and a lot better than what we faced last season. So on that side of things, it's been quite positive. But looking at the squad on Sunday and especially the team that came up that second half after we had a couple of injuries. I mean, after Morales went off, it was devoid in so many areas. We had a lot of players playing out of position. And just 6 days before the season starts, that was a worry. And it was the first time it's kind of really hit home how short we are in a lot of areas. And you can look at every section of the squad, really. I'd say apart from orthodox central midfield, and you could say we're short in almost every position in the squad. So he said he wants to bring in 3 players between now and the end of the transfer window, and that would be great if he could do that. But you're all gambling a little bit in that circumstance. You could be shopping in the bargain bin on the last day. So it's a bit of a mixed bag for me, really.
Dave Bennett?
Well, I don't really pay too much attention to pre-season. I remember saying last year, I'll believe what I see when they finally get out on the pitch. And then after a bad pre-season, they were terrible on the pitch as well. So, I mean, it is the old adage that you can't set your sail by what happens pre-season, but it can give you a bit of a barometer. And as Matt just said, it has been somewhat of a mixed bag. But I'm a bit disheartened that there hasn't been more transfers.
Can we just make sure we note the time? Dave Bennett is disheartened by.
No, it just felt like it was a good time for a good recycling of the squad, and that just hasn't been forthcoming. There hasn't been enough out the door and enough in the door, which is plain to see. Obviously, we are notorious late do-gooders in the transfer window of recent years. We tend to pull stuff out the bag last minute, but we're going to be a few games into the season by that point. And, you know, it was getting off to a bad start last season, albeit they were all draws in the first few games. But they were games we should have won. We put ourselves in winning positions. It was a bitty start, and that was indicative of how the season progressed. And it is important to get off to a good start, and I honestly don't see us getting off to a good start this season.
You'd be surprised to know I disagree with Dave, because recycling's the word I'd say, because we are churning out old players. It is a recycling of the squad, Dave. You've got
Barry. I mean, recycling as in they go in the refreshing bin and they buy something new.
Refreshing, I think you mean. These lads are being churned out year after year. Howard, Hibbert, Barry, they're all still getting the game. They're all still getting contracts.
You're actually agreeing with each other, but you're disagreeing.
I'm disagreeing with his terms and his vocabulary. I'm disagreeing with. No, in terms of pre-season, Pedge, initial question, it's been better, but that's not difficult given how we were playing pub teams last summer. So
I'm getting beat by pub teams,
yeah, quite rightly. So Matt made an interesting point saying we played quality opposition. He's right there, but look what happened against them. Got beat 3-1 by Arsenal, and I mean, that was borderline humiliation. And but the thing is, I'm sort of on Dave's side in terms of you can't read too much into pre-season friendlies. That being said, I think you can read into the personnel that we've got. It's all well and good sorting out your fixtures in pre-season and getting the right level of opposition, making sure your fitness is up to scratch. They're all the things we didn't do last season. Arguably, we had a decent squad from the season before. We were all very optimistic at the end of Martinez's first season. This is the same squad. We've looked one-dimensional, I think, in most of the games so far pre-season. I see people waxing lyrical after we beat Dundee and Hearts, and I'm thinking, you know, what's going on here? It's the same shower as last season, and I can't for the life of me work out why it hasn't been addressed yet at all. I mean, are we waiting for a check to come? Or are we waiting for... Well,
Peter Check, yeah.
Peter Check, yeah. Are we waiting for, you know, to sell a player, which is my biggest fear, because you sort of get that lingering sort of feeling that something has to happen going out for us to bring anybody in. So, pre-season's... It's been better, fair enough. Opposition's been better. Fitness levels look better. So that is a positive, but... We need numbers, and we need good numbers.
We'll talk more about the signings in part two of the show, and you know, players we brought in and players we want to bring in. But you know, you both touched on there the Asia Cup, and I think that was done deliberately to boost fitness. I think that's been one of the things about this summer is a lot of the teams we've played have been there just for fitness. And I take what you say there, Dave, about you're not really bothered pre-season, and I haven't really been bothered this season, because you find every single game is more about getting the players sharp and getting them to a level, where last summer seemed like it was about building up some kind of team ethos and trying to get them playing the same way. But I think he's changed that. He wants his players fully fit. I think he's learned from that from last season's experience. But that also screams to me that he's prepared to use a smaller squad and almost go down the Moyes route, where it's about having every single player as fit as they can, and we'll push them through the wall, we'll push them through the barrier. Players will have to play out of position if needs be, and he will play with what he's got. As long as they're all 100% fit, which obviously they're not all at the moment, but that seems to be a change from last season.
Well, it's funny you should make that comparison, because the most negative we've been going into a season before this was probably the season when Moyes got us to fourth. We'd sold Rooney. Everyone was disillusioned with what had happened the season before. We'd finished 17th. It was all doom and gloom. And it was a sort of siege mentality. I don't think the pre-season that year was too clever, if I remember rightly. And it was just one of them where... And we got beat 4-1 first game against Arsenal. But it was one of them where a good team spirit and a good bunch of players, and only having the league to concentrate on, which is the same situation we have this year, it did get us through. So hopefully, without the distraction of the Europa League, we will be able to manage on a smaller squad, because we're going to have to.
I think, like you touched on there, about being... I think last season he said he wanted us to peak after Christmas time, if I'm not mistaken, and how the whole pre-season, the fitness of the team was geared towards that. But this season, it is imperative that we get off to a good start, because if you look at that start that we've got with those... I think we played the top eight from last season within the first 10 games. We've got a newly promoted team at home on the very first day. We've got to be on it from the get-go, and if we're not, it's going to be his head on the chopping block. And we were subject to the reaction last year. There's a lot of people who were getting a bit disillusioned with Martinez, getting fed up with his positive attitude, and with a squad that's changed, that's not changed at all, things are going to get stale quickly if we start badly, and he's going to come under a lot of pressure otherwise.
Do you think the emphasis has changed? Because we sat here 12 months ago, I think we would have all easily have said we're going for the top four, we're positive, but this season it doesn't feel like that at all. I mean, that's just from us. Do you think you know, his goals have changed, and that's why maybe there's a change in not style but emphasis on getting those players fit? Maybe now he sees that that top four is unachievable, and it is about
survival.
I wouldn't go as far as
that
doesn't shock me.
No, I'm listen, survival, people are saying I'm pressing the panic button straight away. But you look, we reached the stage last season, 28 points from 28 games, where we had our worst points total in 80-odd years after that same amount of games. Now, to me, that doesn't smack of a team that can come good again and get fourth place several months later. Obviously, I'm hoping that changes. Obviously, it can change, and obviously, we've seen a change in the past. But it just troubles me what I'm seeing from the players it themselves, because... It doesn't have that buzz about the place. You know, we all know you go to Goodison, it's that momentum, it's that feel-good factor that gets everybody team. Dave mentioned it, team spirit and all that stuff. That is still a big part of Everton, and I don't see that at the moment. I haven't seen it for a while. Obviously, the off-the-pitch stuff, fan discontent, boardroom, or you know, lack of boardroom drama, all of that, throw all that into the mix. I just don't see a positive atmosphere at Goodison at the moment, and I think that'll feed into how we start the season, sorry to say.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting one, but what I would say just before we go to the break is I feel like that's a thing that's all around the league. I think a lot of people feel like this top four is rooted to the spot for a long time. I think two seasons ago, we all generally felt that there was there was room to break into that top four. A lot of managers coming, a lot of managers going, Sir Alex Ferguson leaving. You know, I think we all felt like that, but now it just seems like it's a closed shop again.
But whose fault is that, though? I don't think it's a case of all of those four getting away from everybody else. I really don't. I think it's because... I mean, Spurs haven't made any groundbreaking signings this summer, have they? Where they did when they sold Bale, they've sort of quietened down a little bit with the spend. Ourselves, obviously, every single year we're crying out to spend a load of money and push on. You look at, I mean, I don't think it's a closed shop simply because of the investment Liverpool have put in. I think Liverpool could, and I was talking to Neil yesterday. I think
Red sympathiser, aren't you?
No, not at all. I think you spend that amount of money and you look at what they've bought as
Seeing you clapping when you were putting that new stand up.
I was out there with my
seeing you putting them tweets up to get favourites off Reds.
I wanted to be the first to hang my flag from that trust or whatever it is. What is it called?
I don't know. We'll discuss it in part two, as well as all our signings. We'll be right back on the Blue Room.
City Talk 105.9.
It's part two, and we're looking at the signings that we've made, gents, or the lack of them. Obviously, we made a couple of signings quite early on. But complete silence in the room. That I think that says it all. But
do you know what though? The two signings that we did make, everyone's honing in on this. They've only spent £4 million, which is it is a valid point. But in the market, both of them players are worth more than that, aren't they? Cleverly, who we've got on a free, it would command a decent transfer fee off the back of what he did at Villa last season and his age.
That's a myth.
And the fact that he's English and homegrown. Which adds something onto fees these days. And then De La Feo, we know that we've got a snip in him because we've seen firsthand what he can do. So I think the two players we've brought in are like sort of to the value of about 15 million in my eyes.
I don't think it gives an excuse to have not spent it.
No, of course not. But people are just saying, oh, we spent £4 million. But I'd say in reality, we've probably added £15 million worth of talent to the squad there.
I think the business we've done has been good. I think Cleverley will be a useful addition for us. And like you said, we all know what De La Feo can do. But I think we've got a lot of players in the squad who do the same sort of thing. We've got a lot of players who pick the ball up and want to drive forward with it. They want to commit defenders, they want to break the lines and they want to play forward, whereas I just think what we're crying out for more than anything of the three positions that Martinez mentioned after the game is a player like Pienaar who plays with his head up in attacking areas, gets between the lines and he plays those incisive passes between players for them to run onto.
I agree with that, Matt, but to a certain extent. But look at last season. We missed De La Feo for so much of that season. We missed just his outright pace. And then we bring in Aaron Lennon. And for me, it was no shock. We go on like a 10-game unbeaten run. So I think having that asset and that pace in the team will sort of get us towards back to how we were able to hurt teams in the season before last. I really do think we missed the pace so much last season because it was too much build up. It was too stop start. It wasn't direct enough in terms of running at people because Ross Barkley had the stop start season. He was injured for the first part and De La Feo wasn't there. So once you took Barkley and De La Feo out of what we had the season before, we didn't have anyone running at them at all really. Yeah.
I don't think it's any coincidence, sorry Dave, I don't think it's any coincidence that when we played at our best last season in that latter half, he did play a more counter-attacking style, and then the likes of Aaron Lennon, Ross Barkley, even Lukaku were a lot better in that second half of the season because we were sitting off teams a little bit more, we were playing a little bit more direct, and it just worries me that because it's a new start to the season, everything's fresh, he's going to go right back to his principles of keeping the ball at the back, slow build up. I think if he does do that, we're going to need a player who can operate between the lines and find those passes for players.
Ross Barkley's your man, isn't he? Because it's a massive season for Ross because last season was a bit of a write-off and a car crash all in all. His confidence was shot and he spent a lot of the time on the treatment table. But him being fully fit with a pre-season behind them going into this season. If he can get his confidence up and start the season really well and get that understanding with Lukaku going, I don't see any reason why we can't be optimistic on that note.
I don't think he's a starter. Barkley, I know we're going to go on and discuss the team
you
later on.
Start him against Watford.
I personally would, yeah, but I don't think he is.
I think it'd be ridiculous if he doesn't.
I think it's... I agree with you, Dave, but I just think he'll go for his favourites in Naismith or Osman. I really do. I think
Naismith's actually getting pushed further out. No, I honestly don't think he's a starter.
Do you not think so?
No, I don't think he is.
I wouldn't even say Osman's a favourite.
I think, going back to Gerard Deulofeu, I think the X factor of Gerard Deulofeu is really important. You both touched on it there, how we finish the season with Lennon. And I think at some point he'll try and bring Lennon back.
I think it's
very tactical what they're doing at the moment. Lennon's getting pushed further and further down the pecking order at Spurs. And it wouldn't surprise me, because obviously a last minute thing this summer or something in January, when his value is basically nothing, you know, with only 6 months of his contract left. So I can see him being brought in. Going back to Tom Cleverley, I think it's an interesting one. I think, you know, Matt, we've discussed this before. I don't think we've got anything that can replace Pienaar and what he does, but I think Cleverley is going to be pushed into a position there where he's almost going to be Pienaar light in a way. He's going to just be a little wall pass for Baines, basically, I think, at times.
Who's this?
Tom Cleverley. I think he's going to play on that left-hand side. Not as far out as Pienaar. I think he's going to be tucked in a little bit more. He's going to be that little bit of wall. He's going to be that little wall for Baines to get forward.
It worked at spells in the first half. That on Saturday, we did seem to get Baines in the game a bit more.
It's up to Cleverley to learn that role under Martinez to get that partnership going with Baines. I don't think he's got the trickery or the vision of a Pienaar, but I think he's got other attributes. He's a good passer. He's got nice hair. His wife's quite good looking. I think that's his role as we go forward.
I think if he's going to play him there though, and he's going to go forward, he's going to have to play him there for a prolonged spell, because that relationship between Baines and Pienaar didn't just strike up overnight. No. It was forged over time. So I don't think it's his natural position. I wouldn't want to see him there playing there for the first 10 games. But
I was hoping he'd take Barry's place. It's not going to happen, no, is it?
That's another good thing about Cleverley as well. He can play anywhere in that midfield, can't he? He can play deeper, he can play a little bit forward, and he can do a job on the flanks as well.
Obviously, Roberto Martinez said on Sunday he'd like to bring three more players in, a centre-forward, a number 10 and a centre-back. Any ideas of, you know, who we should be looking at, Matt? Hipster football man.
I think the fantasy one for us all would be Jadon Shaqiri, who we've been tenuously linked with throughout the summer.
I thought you were going to throw out that Nolito. That's the Twitter on Vogue one, isn't it?
It is one, that, isn't it?
But I think he will be perfect. What after we're talking before about a P&R replacement. He can play across the front. He's dynamic. He can pick a pass. He can shoot from distance. But it's whether we can lure him to Goodison, obviously. And I think as a centre-half, we've been linked with Dragovic, the lad from Kiev, who was outstanding against us in the two games in the Europa League last season. He's linked with United and Arsenal for a lot of the last campaign. And he's young, he's good on the ball, commanding. Yeah, I think he'd be another one. I think the price for him was about 10 million euros, so could potentially be a snip there for him as well.
Centre-forward seems to be, you know, obviously that's the number one for me. And I think it would make a lot of sense to go and see what QPR want for Charlie Austin personally. I think that would make sense all round. He's a centre-forward. He's used to playing in the Premier League. He's a willing runner. He would give us something slightly different. And he's proved he can score goals.
He won't cost less than double figures, you
would. But no
think,
one would, Dave.
I simply don't think we've got that. I think you're looking at it in the loan market. I really do. I was surprised as well. And Dave Bennett will jump on it all over me because he already has. I'm surprised.
He's going to contradict himself again, guys.
I'm surprised we didn't go for Bamford.
After you give me loads, I said we should get him last year.
No, I'll admit, I said this to you. I give you loads at the time because I thought, hang on, here's a Championship striker here.
He plays for Chelsea.
But tell you what, after this summer, I was looking at Everton thinking, hang on, this could well be a Championship side soon, so he might well fit in.
I think the doors at Chelsea are firmly closed. It's between Everton and them.
Yeah, well, that's the sticking point. We couldn't turn down the Stones bid and then say, well, Len's a player as well. No, it would be typical Everton.
No, let's be honest, they probably tried to do that. at some point.
The one thing that's getting me down more than anything is in West Brom link with David Marshall for £4 million.
They've got him, haven't they?
5 million, yeah. It looks like he's gone.
So this is the thing, he goes there. What's going on?
All right, let me.
It is the goalkeeper. You're talking these three positions here. The goalkeeper is the one that needs to be addressed.
I know what.
Two goalkeepers.
We did 12 from a goalkeeper. So I think we need to just drop it now because it's not happening. Should we be more angry that we have not signed more players? I think I've seen a stat today that said that Everton have spent less than 1% of the money that's been spent in the transfer market so far in the Premier League this summer. So should we as fans be more angry that nothing's happening? Because it's nice to say, oh, we brought Jerry back and we've got...
Our fans are plenty angry, mate.
But we should be angry, and I am.
Isn't this justified anger, though? We've got two players in and the season starts in 4 days' time. And it's okay saying the transfer window's open for another three, but we've all seen how long it takes a player to settle when they come in after pre-season.
I can't believe these Muppets who think that we're biding our time here, because it's just not happening, is it? Because it'll be done by now, let's all be honest. We can all go round thinking the sun shines out of Roberto's backside.
He's come out and said it,
because there's... dramatically scrambling around every bank in the city looking for a few crumbs that he can throw together and offer to a player, Matt. Can I just tell me why it hasn't been done by now? And you can't throw the argument
that no players have been.
Yeah, they are my views. And you know what? The fact that it hasn't happened yet speaks volumes. You can't throw at me that the right deal hasn't opened up yet because the panic buyer the last week of the transfer window hasn't happened yet. I'm not having that. Martinez is sitting here and he knows quite well what we need. He's come out and said it after the last friendly of the season. Why say it now? Has he just woke up and realised now that we need these players in? And I still can't believe one isn't a goalkeeper.
I mean, you look at a lot of these teams who have, you know, bought players in. They are on the back of actually selling major assets. So, you know, it's the two ways of looking at it, isn't it? You know, there's obviously the John Stones situation. We all want to keep him. We're all desperate to keep him. I mean, I want to keep him simply because the money they're offering is nothing. Yeah. I think it's nothing. We've got
two centre-backs.
Yeah, and next summer I think he's going to be worth a lot more and we'll get a lot more out of a sale next summer. But, you know, you look at some of these clubs. You look at Swansea. You look at Crystal Palace. You look at Stoke. There's a lot of these clubs who are heavily invested in Southampton. They're chaining out players and bringing good players in, and that just doesn't seem to be happening at Everton. We are rigid in we are not going to move players to bring players in. Do we have to sort of?
But neither happens then, does it?
Exactly. So do we as fans have to lighten up and look at it and say, well, if a player can be sold for a certain amount of money, and we can bring players in. Look at Liverpool. Well, Liverpool got a player out who was unhappy for a fantastic price. They'd done the business early. And when he went, the fans were made up.
Mm. That's what I was going to say. If we were thinking of selling John Stones, it should have been done by now. And Everton shouldn't have been dictated to one. He should have said, we're going to get our players in first. And then it's exactly what Liverpool did with Sterling this summer and what Tottenham did with Gareth Bale. No, it didn't work out for them in the end, but they got the players in first.
But it's dangerous though, because you sometimes need to sell to get the money, because then if the Stones transfer collapses and you've got
sum of 40 million coming in and it's all set, but it still
can collapse until he's there and it's signed. Then it can still collapse.
I think there are back channels though, Dave. I think things go on that we don't get to hear about. Things get, it doesn't always have to be that final signing, but I think when someone knows there's a transfer going through, it's going through. You know, the club with the money will just wait till it's the right time. And
yeah, John Stones can still get injured. It's not done until it's done. So it would still be a dangerous game. At the same time, Everton can't go and outlay 40 million off the back of what we're going to sell Stones in a month.
That's why I was saying, that's why it's got to be done early, isn't it? Before even a ball is kicked in pre-season. Very, you know, that was the case with Sterling anyway. So, be interesting to see.
I'd actually love that to happen. You know, I'd love us to go and blow 40 million, thinking we're selling Stones, and then it not happen. Just to ruffle feathers. Just to see what happens.
Yeah, Leeds United would happen. Yeah,
no, it wouldn't happen at all.
Right, leave it there. We will be right back after the break. Looking forward to the game against Watford.
This is the Blue Room City Talk 105.9.
Welcome back to the Blue Room on City Talk 105.9. We're Peter McPartlin, Matt Jones, Dave Downey and Dave Bennett in the studio for the final part of the show. Obviously, it is the first game of the season on Saturday, even though we haven't talked about it very much, but Watford at home. And then, as you mentioned before, Matt, we've got a very dangerous sequence of games. So this has got to be 3 points on Saturday. I think that's the way a lot of people all approach this and go into the ground thinking it is. And that is a bit of a worry because, as we all know, Everton fans can can just be a little bit angry at times, as Dave Downey obviously demonstrates regularly on this show. And I don't think it's going to be as easy as everyone thinks. Watford are a team that have come up and are clearly going for it. They've got a new manager in. They've got a lot of new players. They're not sort of one of those teams that have come up and have decided we might go down. We're not going to spend a lot of money. We're going to come back up. This is a team where we're saying we're going to go for it. And I think it can be very dangerous on Saturday.
They've got a manager with a lot of pedigree as well. He won the Europa League with Atletico Madrid, and I think before that he did a really good job with Getafe, who came up from the second division into La Liga, newly promoted team, and they finished 13th. So you can see why they've gone for him. And like you said, they've made some top quality signings. I think Etienne Capoue is a really good player. He obviously didn't fulfil his potential at Tottenham, but he was an outstanding talent at Toulouse, and he did really well there. But they're an unknown quantity, aren't they? And they scored a lot of goals in the Championship last season. And although Bournemouth got a lot of praise for the way they played, I think they only scored a couple of goals less than them, maybe conceded one or two more. So they were not far off being, you know, the outstanding team in that league. And just another worrying thing is how good they are at set pieces as well. They scored 22 set piece goals last season, which is the most of any team in the second tier. And
Troy Deeney bagging.
I think if anyone's watched our set piece defending in pre season, that's going to be a major worry.
Troy Deeney against Gareth Barry. Heavyweight clash, that, isn't it?
That's Dave Bennett's fantasy football tip for the first 3 weeks of the season. Get on Troy Deeney, because he'll definitely score against us. Anyone who needs the first goal in something, it's coming against us. And then they're at home the two games after that against teams that I think he'll score against. So I'm giving you that away for free, guys.
Going back to what you said, Ped, I think you can't underestimate how big of a game this is. You know, it is huge. It means a lot in terms of, you know, setting the scene for a season, setting the scene for the nine following dead hard games that are coming after it, and to sort of reassure a fan base that's sort of on the edge with this manager as well. I mean, I think the summer's gone well for Martinez personally, as a person for him, because of everything, the discontent with the board and all that sort of thing, and the lack of signings. I think the sort of doubts around him that were, you know, overshadowing a large part of last season, sort of taking a back seat a little bit. And I think if he can just sort of, if he wins this opening game, then that's him on the front foot then. And like I said before, we know what we're like with momentum. Regardless of the playing personnel, Everton always find a way when they are, you know, on the front foot. So I think this is a colossal game in our season straight away, and it needs to be won, because if we don't, the daggers will be out for Martinez, the daggers will still be out for everything else that's going on, and I'll probably be out of here.
I suppose, I mean, you somewhat momentum, you have to look at last season and how we started with those two games and how we drop points late on against Leicester and Arsenal. So it is really important that we can get 3 points. I mean, my biggest disappointment is it's not away, because I really would have liked to have gone to Harry Potter Land in Watford. But, you know, anyway.
We'll need some of that.
They come out to Zed cars as well, don't they? Which is always a pleasure.
They do. I always find it very worrying, though, playing a team that I've been promoted, because they are very much that. There's a little bit of mystery, there's a bit of unknown about them, and, you know, they have got that good feeling behind them. They'll have sell their end out, and they'll be the team actually coming into this game probably feeling a lot more positive about the season ahead, because they'll have a completely new team. But I suppose that will benefit Everton, because this won't be a team that will settle down. It'll be a team that won't be used to the Premier League, whereas as much as people want to say, well, it's the same Everton team for the last 2 years, at least this team knows what it's all about and hopefully can kick on. We spoke about already that they definitely look fitter, they look fresher. It's about putting those final touches on it. I suppose it's going to come down to whether the likes of Lukaku's fit, whether Delafeu's available, off the bench, whether Kevin Morales and John Stones are available. Because, if those three players are not available, then that is going to be a worry.
Yeah, like Dave touched upon all the concerns there that a lot of people are feeling, but even though we've not made any signings, even though there's a bit of discontent behind the scenes, and in the minds of a lot of fans, we've got good players there who didn't show the best last season. You're looking at players like James McCarthy, you think can go on again this year. Ross Barkley, you mentioned, was a shadow of himself last year. He needs to pull his finger out and do a lot better. Lukaku scored 20 goals last season, but there were times in the Premier League when he could have performed better. Mm-hmm. He needs to do more with the ball.
Coleman.
Seamus Coleman, Leighton Baines again. All these players are all top class, and when they're at the best, and if Everton go on Saturday and they do turn up and play well, we'll be too strong for Watford. But if they've watched how we played last season and we have effectively got the same squad out, they come in, they frustrate us, there's no new signings on, all of a sudden, you can see it now, the crowd are going to get on their backs, the players are going to start playing side to side. It could easily go wrong, so a fast start, and like you said, Dave, there, I think that's a great word. You use colossal. It's a colossal game in our season.
Yeah, my prediction: John Stones falls over the ball, 10th minute. They score a goal. Everyone turns. We should have took the money. His head's not here.
That's
Martinez out.
And we're going by John Eitinger.
Yeah.
On loan. That's just when you ring me at half time. What do you think so far, Dave? Martinez out. I've had enough.
I'm just thankful Alcaraz has signed for the team, because I was worrying there that we were going to maybe get
Pistone, doing like, a Pistone, yeah, exactly, with him. Yeah.
Dave, you mentioned earlier you didn't think Ross Barkley would start. I mean, what would you be starting 11?
He would be. Let me get that clear. I'd go with.
So what would you be yours?
Well, obviously, the back four is the back four.
Who's in goal?
There's never been a more back four than Everton's goal? Back four. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. I've had enough of them already. Did you see it on Sunday, by the way?
For the second goal? Yeah,
it is light now. He dives out the way, hoping that the striker mishits it so it goes his way, and he makes a save. It's just total incompetence. It's just awful.
His kicking looks anyway, improved.
He's gonna be in goal, isn't he? If you want
how
me to say
not be named,
if you want me to pick my team, it'll be totally different.
Team. I want your team.
Robles,
go on.
Back four as it is, which we know the four. Yeah. Yeah, don't we? McCarthy, Cleverley, and Barkley. This is all being fit, by the way, as well. Morales, Lukaku, Dale, Feu. I think that should be at 11 at home. Every single week, if it can possibly be. Away from home, I'd go different. But what will start is a completely different kettle of fish, obviously based on the injuries and obviously based
Dave
on the clown and goal.
No, that'd be my first 11, actually. We agree on something for once, Dave.
Matt?
Robles, yeah, up front.
I like that team, to be honest. But like you said, it's not going to be that, is it?
No.
It's going to be Gareth Barry and McCarthy deep and Cleverley probably off the left-hand side. So,
do you don't think Barkley will play there?
I think he'll play
fit, yeah, right. Yeah.
Or it'll be Cleverley or Naismith. It'll be interesting to see if Morales plays as well, because he went off with a knock in the weekend, and you know he's a player who picks up a lot of injuries. So I wouldn't want to rush him back really, but without him, we do look a little bit one-dimensional.
If De La Feu's fit, would you start him? Yeah, definitely, if he's fit.
Without a shadow of a doubt. And do you know what? He didn't start enough games the first time he was here, either, in my opinion. Yeah. I think there was too many times he was on the bench.
As well, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Everyone begins to the game. You look at the team before the end, and you go, he's playing.
I think you pull out his hamstring, isn't it?
You get every potential field-goal factor you possibly can. You get Changi playing.
He grabs the back of his leg after 10 minutes, and then what's the point? You know what I mean? We've got to be really careful with his hamstring this season. We've got to make sure he rehabs that properly, because what's the point of him coming in for spits and spurts and then he's out again? Yeah, we want him consistently there all season.
That said, for Watford, I mean, what are our predictions then for the whole of the season? I mean, what are you looking at for Watford? They'll be fine, Watford.
Funnily enough, the positions you might say might be too different between Everton and Watford.
I think we're going to finish 8th this season. I think the top four, as you mentioned, are pretty set. I think Liverpool are come to be the fifth best team, and then Tottenham. I think Swansea are going to have a good season this year. Looking at the signings they've made, I think they're going to do really well. And I think after the tough start, we'll eventually get into our groove and sort up the table later on.
I think we're looking at 7th or 8th myself personally as well. But for God's sake, give us a cup run. Just have a go with the League Cup and give us that. And then I wouldn't care where we came in the league, as long as we didn't go down, as long as we get a bit of glory, which we deserve.
I said to Adam last night, 8th to 10th. 10th, I think.
The bottom half, are you talking about here? Or?
Yeah, 10th bottom. I just see so many sides that are either on par with us or better than us, with greater mentality and emphasis on their games at the moment. You mentioned three of them there: Swansea, West Ham, Southampton. Look at what Stoke are doing as well. We mentioned a little bit earlier. I think they're all slightly ahead of Everton in the pecking order at the moment.
I agree to a point. I do think that last season, the Europa League possibly could have cost us about 4 or 5 games. And if you put those 4 or 5 games together, you are looking for a top 7, top 8 finish. So it'll be interesting to see whether not having those extra games will be...
Can I just ask a question then? What do you think would lose Martinez's job? What league position? I think bottom half.
Probably nothing.
I think if he finishes
second club,
I think 11th and he's gone.
I think you'd have to go very, very wrong.
Again, it depends what we do in the cups as well. Like yeah. I've just touched on, because we're being realistic about our league position finish and chances of us qualifying for Europe via the league is looking like an outside chance. So if he doesn't have a proper crack at these cup competitions, which could make him a legend at the club, the Carling Cup, or whatever it's called this season, you go for that, you play your first team, you can have that in the bag by March and be in Europe next season.
I completely agree, and I think that's what he's got to go for this season. I think going back to what your question was there, I don't think
he's unsackable.
This is one of the fundamental problems I have with Everton Football Club.
I said this last night,
is
by the way.
The relationship between the manager and the board and the owner are far too pally.
Yeah.
And they have been since David Moyes walked through the door. And I don't see any pressure on him. And I don't feel like there's any pressure on any manager ever. And that's a big problem that has to be sorted out. Because if the manager doesn't feel like there's any pressure, then he's never going to push on at a club like Everton.
Yep.
Anyway, time has caught us up as ever on a Tuesday night in the Blue Room. We'll be back next week, hopefully with big smiles on our faces. We'll see you then.
The Blue Room on City Talk 105.9.